This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is radio for the rest of us, for those of us who are personally free from religion.
And I'm Dan Barker. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This is the July 11th, 2024 episode of Free Thought Radio. Our producer is Leo Costello, and Noah Gilfillan with Audio for the Arts is our engineer. We're recording Free Thought Radio in the Stephen Ohl Friendly Atheist Studio in Free Thought Hall, which is the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin.
And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, otherwise known as FFRF. Hard to say over the radio.
FFRF.
And we are the nation's largest association of freethinkers. That means atheists, agnostics, secularists, rationalists, humanists, whatever you like to call yourself. We all disbelieve in the same God or gods, and we work very diligently to protect the constitutional principle of secularism in our government, the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, keeping religion out of government. It's never been a more important time to speak up for secular government and democracy, and we hope you'll join us if you're not a member already at ffrf.org. Join.
Public education in the United States is under attack, and not just by religious zealots. In the second half of today's show, we will speak with a leading expert, Kara Fitzpatrick, about her new book, The Death of Public School: How Conservatives Won the War Over Education in America. Sunday is the anniversary of the birth of Woody Guthrie. He was born July 14, 1912, in Oklahoma. The legendary Depression-era singer-songwriter inspired many artists, such as Bob Dylan. Guthrie was a champion of the less fortunate, and he expressed contempt for organized religion. During the breaks today, we'll hear Guthrie plucking away on his guitar to "This Land Is Your Land," "I Ain't Got No Home in This World Anymore," "Hard Traveling," and "Tear the Fascists Down."
And later on the show, we'll hear Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings perform a funk soul version of the Guthrie song, "This Land Is Your Land." And before we turn to hard news, let's share a little from this week's FFRF Ask an Atheist. Our legal director, Liz Cavell, and Equal Justice Works fellow, Kat Grant, discuss the latest threats, unfortunately so many, to healthcare within the LGBTQ plus community, including an upcoming decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that could change the future for transgender youth.
And on that Ask an Atheist show, Liz and Kat talked about how a major problem is the Catholic takeover of many hospitals.
The Catholic health system has become really pervasive, and in some parts of the country, there are so many hospital systems that have been absorbed or bought by Catholic healthcare systems that there are so many kind of secular healthcare deserts, basically, places in the country where the only medical care you can get is dictated by the American Conference of Catholic Bishops, right?
Right.
Like, you can only get care at a Catholic hospital, and the care that they offer is dictated by the tenets of the Catholic Church and the Catholic Bishops' Conference.
Right. I wrote a blog last year, back in August, titled "Healthcare Decisions Should Be Made by Doctors and Patients, Not Priests." I went through a lot of the process as to how the Catholic hierarchy in the United States is able to put down these decisions. This was specifically about gender-affirming care, even though no one on the committee is a doctor. all of them are priests, all of them are bishops, and it's usually very much to the opposition of people who are doctors in the Catholic healthcare system. We need to remember that not everyone in our healthcare system is Catholic. We are seeing these increasing secular healthcare deserts, and we need to make sure that while we honor our faith as individuals, we are not forcing that onto other people.
And also, many Catholic patients do not agree with the hierarchy on things like abortion and sterilization and how to treat LGBTQ people. So watch Ask an Atheist live most Wednesdays at noon Central via YouTube or Facebook. You please make comments or ask questions. Now, on to the news. Let's start with FFRF news and four state church victories.
Last week, we mentioned a state church victory stopping the principal of Maury County Public Schools in Columbia, Tennessee, from delivering a Christian prayer during the middle school graduation ceremony. Here's a news story on WKRN out of Nashville about that complaint that includes FFRF legal fellow Hirsch Joshi.
According to the letter, one student can be seen on a live stream looking confused before, quote, bowing their head in conformity.
Is that the idea to make sure people don't need to conform?
Right. And, you know, and that conformity is really something that the First Amendment guards us against. The idea isn't really so much about just the prayer. It's about the captive audience that is there.
We reached out to Maury County Schools for their response. A spokesperson told us the complaint was received and addressed by district officials. Joshi says their foundation has been plenty busy of late, magnified by the upcoming presidential election.
I think our work is going to become more and more important, especially as I hear November is important. So, as November rolls around. And, you know, I'm hoping that things get better before they get worse, but that's just going to be my hope for now.
So that's a good victory as a result of a letter that Hirsch Joshi wrote to that area. You can read about more FFRF victories on our news website, ffrf.org/news, including FFRF got a prayer display removed from Washington County, Virginia school cafeteria. Another one in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the school board dropped prayer after we complained. And then in Hinton Community School District in Iowa, FFRF stopped school officials from promoting a religious student club.
Yeah, that's where they can have the student club, but the staff cannot run it, and that's what was going on. That's a violation of a federal law. And now, as a lot of, we have a lot of major national news, including an update on FFRF's very significant lawsuit in Louisiana with a coalition of groups against that terrible new Ten Commandments in the school law. And we have asked this week, and our attorneys worked very hard on it, for them to enjoin the law from taking effect so that children who are starting to go to school in early August are not going to be forced to read in every single classroom the biblical edicts. And we have part
and
of...
And here's part of a story about our lawsuit that aired this week on KALB out of Alexandria, Louisiana.
The postage of the Ten Commandments in all Louisiana classrooms may soon be put on hold following a new motion filed by lawsuit plaintiffs. Today, representatives with multiple civil rights organizations such as the Civil Liberties Union of Louisiana and the Freedom From Religion Foundation have filed a preliminary injunction asking the court system to block the postage of the Ten Commandments in all state-funded classrooms while the lawsuit is pending. The plaintiffs say the mandate violates a Supreme Court ruling made on the case of Stone versus Graham nearly 40 years ago. The plaintiffs released a statement saying, in part, when students across Louisiana, including the minor child plaintiffs, return to school this August, they will be subjected to unavoidable, permanently displayed religious directives. A statement from Reverend Darcy Roque, who is one of the many plaintiffs, continued on to say, in part, we are eager to ensure that our families' religious freedom rights are protected from day one of the upcoming school year. The Ten Commandments displays required under state law will create an unwelcoming and oppressive school environment for children.
And remember, we're talking about children as young as five, kindergarten through college, where it's supposed to be on every single classroom wall. And so we'll be waiting for the judge's ruling and hoping for the best there. And then in other national news, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is thanking and applauding Representative Jared Huffman, along with Suzanne Del Benny of Washington State. Huffman represents California, for reissuing a call to the IRS to review the tax-exempt status of groups that claim to be churches while engaging in political advocacy. And this includes the Family Research Council, and they renewed this appeal in light of reports about Family Research Council that it had obtained church status to hide finances and information. It's not a church, and a number of legal groups, legal Christian right groups, are taking advantage of a loophole in the IRS to claim their churches so that they don't have to report like all the other nonprofits. So hooray for those representatives.
And now Oklahoma.
We don't have a hooray, but we have an update on the out-of-control, rogue, loose cannon Oklahoma Superintendent Walters, Ryan Walters, and his war on our secular public education. And as we put it in the press release, he has gone nuclear. This week he announced that he's going to be bringing in three leading theocrats to oversee a new curriculum that's going to have the Bible in it. And the three leading theocrats are a veritable who's who in Christian nationalism. They include David Barton, known for promulgating fake quotes, trying to say it's a Christian nation. He's not a respectable person. He's lied about having a PhD. Dennis Prager of so-called PragerU, which is not a university but glorified YouTube videos that promulgate Christian nationalism and other things. And Kevin Roberts. And Kevin Roberts' name may not be known to you, but he is the president of the Heritage Foundation. And a lot of people are starting to realize that the Heritage Foundation is spearheading the infamous Project 2025 that's gotten a lot of publicity, which is a roadmap to a Christian authoritarian White House takeover. And Representative Jared Huffman, for example, is leader of the Stop Project 2025 task force. And so these are the people that the superintendent is bringing in to overhaul their curriculum. And then they have other people on the committee that are not are lesser names, but all Christian nationalists, religious right. And we will be doing more about this. We're investigating. We're seeing how this is being implemented. Before we sue, we're getting a lot of people coming forward wanting to sue, so we will keep you posted.
We've talked about right-wing Christian zealot Missouri Senator Josh Hawley on this show many times, but now, to dispel any doubts that he is a Christian nationalist, listen to what he said during a speech at the National Conservatism Conference on Monday.
We are a nation defined by the dignity of the common man as given to us in the Christian religion. And I'm sure some will say now that I am calling America a Christian nation. And so I am. And some will say that I am advocating Christian nationalism. And so I do. Christian nationalism founded American democracy. The campaign to erase America's religion from the public square is really just class warfare by other means. It's the elite versus the common man. It's the atheistic moneyed class versus America's working people. And by the way, the left wants religion. They want the religion of the pride flag. We want the religion of the Bible. Why don't we take down the trans flag from all of the federal buildings over which it's flying? And instead inscribe on every building owned or operated by the federal government our national motto, In God We Trust.
Which, Senator Hawley, is not even an accurate motto. To be accurate, it would have to say, In God some of us trust. And many good Americans do not believe in God. So this guy is scary, as we know. He's the guy who did the thumbs up as he was going into the building on January 6th. We'll never forget the image of that.
And of course, our original national motto was E Pluribus Unum.
From many come one, secular, celebrating diversity among, and unity and diversity. So speaking of the Heritage Foundation, which is threatening revolution, a state representative denounced Christian nationalism and became our secularist of the week. We should say that the FFRF Action Fund, which is the legislative arm of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, chooses a secularist and a theocrat of the week. And in this instance, Oklahoma State Representative Jacob Rosecrans very bravely and outspokenly has condemned Project 2025. And that means a lot from somebody in Oklahoma. And then, Dan, who's the theocratic
Well,
leader?
And Rosecrans said, this whole Bible in the public schools thing is Christo-fascism, nothing more. And the theocrat of the week is Kevin Roberts, and we mentioned before, head of the Project 2025. And he appeared on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast to talk about the coming revolution.
The reason that so many anchors on MSNBC, for example, are losing their minds daily is because our side is winning. And so I come full circle in this response and just want to encourage you with some substance that we are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be.
Yeah, infamous remark. I'm sure everyone has heard it already. And again, he's the guy that's going to be on the committee changing curriculum in Oklahoma. So watch out, and we'll be keeping you posted on action taken.
After the break, we'll hear Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings sing their funk soul version of This Land Is Your Land. We're hearing a little bit of Woody Guthrie's guitar right now. After that, we will talk with Kara Fitzpatrick, author of The Death of Public School, How Conservatives Won the War Over Education in America.
Hi, I'm Don Ardell, a life member of FFRF and promoter of Real Wellness Lifestyles. I'm no longer willing to say, in God I trust, so help me God, God bless America, or pretend America is more under a God than any other nation. Join the resistance to Christian nationalism and politicians more attentive to what they think God wants than the needs of their constituents. Let's make separation of church and state a reality and turn back the drift to theocracy. Support FFRF. Our freedom really does depend on freethinkers.
Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. That's Pete Seeger playing the classic Woody Guthrie song, This Land Is Your Land. And this Sunday, July the 14th, is the anniversary of Woody Guthrie's birthday.
You may not know this, but Guthrie wrote This Land Is Your Land as a rebuke to God Bless America by Irving Berlin, who also was a freethinker, by the way, who wrote that song for a character. Guthrie got so tired of hearing the song on the radio in the late 1930s that he sarcastically named his song God Blessed America for Me before renaming it This Land Is Your Land.
One of the original lyrics in the song was, one bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people. As they stood hungry, I stood there wondering if God blessed America for me.
But even though the song was a radical response at the time, of course, today it is a very uncomfortable song with people acknowledging the manifest destiny white Christian takeover of this continent at the expense of American Indian First Nation people, enslaved black people, Asian laborers. So one notable version of This Land Is Your Land is performed by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, released in 2005, and we play this song not only to honor Woody Guthrie's birth, but to acknowledge the death of Devante Mitchell, a homeless 43-year-old man in Milwaukee who died June 30th, that's here in Wisconsin, at the hands of four Hyatt Regency hotel security guards there. Videos show him lying on the ground, crying for help, pleading for his life. The hotel workers were fired, but police are still investigating. He was eulogized this week by Al Sharpton.
Here is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings singing This Land Is Your Land.
Okay. All right. Haven't did this in a while.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island, well, from the Redwood Forest, well, to the Gulf Stream's waters. Ooh, let me tell y'all that this land was made for you and me. Made for you and me, yeah. As I was walking, they tried to stop me. You know they put up a sign that read, the sign that read, private property. But you know what? Was made for you and me. Yeah, Dwayne. Oh, yeah. Made for you and me, yeah. This land is your land.
And that is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. This land is your land. So we're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to talk with Kara Fitzpatrick. She's with Chalkbeat, which is an organization of journalists looking at our public schools and education. She's author of the book, The Death of Public School, How Conservatives Won the War Over Education in America. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters." This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We announced earlier in the show today that Kara Fitzpatrick, author of The Death of Public School, would be our guest, but she just emailed saying that she's very sick and she can't do the show and wants to reschedule.
So we are so fortunate that as our substitute guest, we have FFRF Legal Director Patrick Elliott. And we have been wanting to have you back on the show anyway, Patrick. So thank you for joining us at the last minute like this.
Yeah, glad to be joining you. I guess this is what it feels like to be the backup date. Is that that's who I am today?
We want to hear from you all about the Louisiana lawsuit and the developments. We mentioned them briefly earlier in the show, but this is a really big case because it's a really, really egregious violation. So tell us what's going on with the Louisiana Ten Commandments in the schools law in our lawsuit.
Yeah, and I hope some of your listeners, are familiar with this because it's been international news, but there's a lot going on. And so Louisiana, at the end of June, the governor signed a law mandating the Ten Commandments to be in every public school classroom, kindergarten through college. And not only that, the law specifies a precise version of the Ten Commandments. It says, what size, basically the size of the posters are going to have to be. And schools are going to have to comply, really soon. They have to start putting those up and be in full compliance by, I think, January 1st of 2025. So not surprisingly, FFRF and some of the other groups who work in this space heard from a lot of families really concerned about this. So we partnered in this case with the ACLU of Louisiana, the ACLU National, and Americans United for Separation of State and Church to work as a team with 9 families with different backgrounds. So we have at least 3 non-religious families a part of this case, some Unitarian Universalists, Presbyterian minister, and a Jewish family, or at least a Jewish parent and child, as a part of this, because a lot of people had a problem with the state, mandating a particular version of the Ten Commandments and the state really pushing that on young children and children throughout the whole state of Louisiana.
Well, if it's every classroom in the state, that must be thousands of classrooms, right? And all the public schools and at every level.
Right. And what's unique about this, and the complaint points this out, there's really no connection to education. This is going to be in, classrooms like kindergarten classrooms where, many of those students can't read. What's the educational purpose of this, right?
And excuse me, Patrick, but they certainly need a caution not to commit adultery.
Right. And that does also come up in the complaint with one of our plaintiffs, one of the non-religious plaintiffs, mentioning the problem with, his elementary school children and, how the state not wanting to force those conversations because the kids are able to read. They're going to read it. And he doesn't want to have the state kind of force those conversations about, those aspects of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Daddy, what does adultery mean?
Right. Right. I think it's and I think how this is worded in the complaint is, it is a burden on the parent then to if this is going to happen very soon, he's now going to have a preemptive conversation with his elementary school children about the Ten Commandments and about what his views on it are. And basically, this is, a particular translation from, a Christian and Lutheran perspective with a lot of wording cut out, by the way. So I think it's a problem for the plaintiffs and for people across the state to have to, have these conversations with their children. It really, interferes with, we're usually the other side's talking about religious liberty, right? The organizations that are more so Christian nationalists. But this is true problem for religious liberty, not just for the, you know, the non-religious people and the Establishment Clause, but imagine, you know, some of the religious families not wanting to have the state kind of weigh in on a doctrinal issue, like what's the language, what are the Ten Commandments, what's their numbering, what's their ordering. It's a problem for the government to get into that. And the state here has really adopted one particular version and is trying to put it out there in front of every kid.
So we want to talk a little bit more about that. But first, because this is such an egregious problem and coming right up because some schools start so early for some reason in Louisiana, what have we done this week to try to prevent this kind of invasion of religious privacy?
Yeah, so this is all really rapidly developing. So the complaint was filed at the very within a week of the governor signing the law. And then on Monday, July 8th, we filed for a preliminary injunction to get the federal district court to block this law from going into effect, because some of the families in this case are going to go back to school as soon as August 8th, and some shortly thereafter in August. So really, there's a concern from, you know, from the plaintiff's side that they're going to be impacted by this law immediately without some court intervention to block it, block its implementation while this lawsuit proceeds. So that motion has not yet been heard. This is all, you know, unwinding very quickly. So we're hoping that the state and some of the defendants are going to actually file their responses next week. And hopefully we can get a hearing to block this law.
And can you tell us who the judge is?
It's a middle district. I think it's Judge DeGravos. It's a middle district judge in the district for Louisiana. I don't know. I don't know as much about the judge. You know, we're really working on the case to try to get this heard promptly and to have, you know, at least to block the law from impacting the families. You know, is the first thing we're looking to do. And I think we have a judge that it will be fair to hear that for sure.
And our attorneys at FFRF were very integral in working on that injunction, correct?
Yes, we're working, again, I don't want to take all the credit, but we're working with other partners, including a national law firm, Simpson Thatcher Bartlett, the ACLU, and Americans United. But we've been working with, you know, as a team to really try to get this resolved. I mean, this is a pretty egregious Establishment Clause violation. The U.S. Supreme Court actually ruled in 1980 in the case Stone versus Graham, which I know you and Dan are very familiar with, you know, that the state of Kentucky could not put up Ten Commandments postings in every classroom. So this conflicts directly with U.S. Supreme Court precedent. So it's really the second state that's ever tried this. Kentucky obviously was blocked in doing that in 1980, and now Louisiana is trying to do it.
And we like to give credit to William Cameron Stone, who is our life member, who actually was the attorney who took and won that case very speedily. So well done, William.
Yeah, and it's been a very helpful precedent. I can just say, and I think as you and Dan also know, you know, in the years that I've worked at FFRF, it's been very helpful to block this kind of thing from going on. It's at a much smaller scale, you know, individual schools or individual teachers putting up Ten Commandments displays. We've relied on Stone versus Graham pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. FFRF has sued at least 3 school districts, and we've won all of those about Ten Commandments monuments or Ten Commandments displays. So I think we do owe a gratitude for the attorney and for the litigants in that case, because that precedent has been helpful. And now you have the state of Louisiana trying to overturn it, you know, seems to be one of their goals here.
And some of the precedent that we use in our complaints and lawsuits come from that 1980 case, Stone versus Graham, where the court said that the Ten Commandments are undeniably a religious document. And of course, look at them on their face. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt
have no other God before me.
So what business does a secular state have in interfering with and imposing a particular version of a religious document on public school students? I was soon after our lawsuit was filed in late June, I was invited to speak about this on Univision in Spanish, and they incorrectly introduced the segment by saying, the state of Louisiana is putting the Roman Catholic version of the Ten Commandments in public schools. And I said, I don't think so. I think this is the King James Protestant version that's going up in the public schools. So right there, you see a religious conflict, don't we?
Right, right. You know, people, I think, you know, people want to root for this because they're like, oh, yeah, we're doing, you're putting up the Ten Commandments. And then maybe it's a little bit, oh, wait, that's not actually what my faith teaches or what a lot of people would consider, you know, what a lot of people would consider the Ten Commandments, and particularly the language and the wording is problematic, you know, for a lot of people. And I do like, just back to your comment about Stone versus Graham, that the Supreme Court wasn't fooled in that case, because that case also involved the state requiring, oh, we'll put a, you know, a statement, not a disclaimer, but a statement underneath the Ten Commandments saying how important these are to the laws of Western civilization. And the court just said, you know, what you said, Dan, is like, this is undeniably a sacred and religious text. You're not fooling us, basically, is what they're saying with trying to come up with some secular justification. And so that's what's going on here again, is the state is trying to claim, you know, some kind of historic argument rather than what everybody knows is going on, is that this is about religion.
Patrick, before we take a break, I do have another question, because the law does have a statement attached to it. Can you talk just briefly about that?
Yeah, this was added on to an amendment. The original bill didn't require that. This was added on as an amendment. So there is a what they call a context statement. It's not required to be of any particular size, unlike the Ten Commandments display. And I don't really think it does a whole lot other than it claims that the Ten Commandments have been used in, you know, in public education. And so it's really trying to find any justification to put these up. And then the bill itself had, you know, some preamble to it explaining why this was needed. And one of the things in the preamble was a fake quote from James Madison about the Ten Commandments. And so that tells you a little bit about what's going on with the state by using fake quote from James Madison, which has been debunked many times. Our complaint also talks about that and addresses that was not a correct quote.
And didn't you point that out? Didn't you notice that that was a spurious quotation?
Yeah, I mean, probably a lot of people would who are familiar with this. But yeah, my spidey senses immediately were like, I have to Google this. And the number one hit is, you know, this is a fake quote. Basically, there have been scholars writing about it. The people who study James Madison say it's not in any of his writings. It's not in any of his speeches. It's, we can trace its origin to a particular person who made it up.
Isn't that David Barton, probably?
Yeah.
He copied it from somewhere else. But he is the source of where it's gotten, where it's spread. And actually, at one point, it was in Rush Limbaugh's book. And I think later on, that got taken out. So yeah, it's hard to kill one of these fake quotes, but the state here has adopted one.
Yeah, well, smoking gun there. So we're talking with FFRF Legal Director Patrick Elliott. And when we come back, Patrick, everybody is now looking at Oklahoma and what's going on in the schools there, with the superintendent saying he's going to put the Bible and he's the Ten Commandments and you name it in the schools. So we want to talk with you about what we're going to be doing about that.
We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at FFRF.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and our guest today is FFRF Legal Director Patrick Elliott. Patrick first joined the FFRF staff, I believe, in 2010. Is that right, Patrick?
Yeah, that's
yes.
Right.
Yes. And 14 years.
Yeah, yeah, 14 years.
We're a real expert. And we are talking about nationally significant cases that the Freedom From Religion Foundation is either suing in or it looks like we have to sue on. And we were just talking about the Louisiana Ten Commandments in the school law that we are suing over. And Patrick, we'd now like to move to the state of Oklahoma, which is causing a lot of grief to people who believe in separation of state and church there, specifically superintendent of the schools, Walters.
Ryan Walters.
Ryan Walters, thank you. And again, another development this week, but we were very busy when we were filing the lawsuit and that bill was passing. Then he wanted to get into the act after Louisiana passed their law. So do you want to talk about what generally is going on in Oklahoma and what might happen?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. So I think both our action in Louisiana prompted this. And then the other thing that happened in Oklahoma, which was actually good news, and I think you've mentioned this on the show before, but the state Supreme Court in Oklahoma had blocked the first ever Catholic charter school with a ruling at the end of June, which is very favorable to state church separation, including a very favorable establishment clause analysis saying why, which should be obvious, that the state cannot open a religiously affiliated school that was going to put on religious curriculum. So that happened. And our Louisiana lawsuit was filed. And so 2 days later, Ryan Walters, the Oklahoma State Superintendent of Instruction, I think wanted to get some attention. And so he, I think during the school board's meeting, he gave some comments and remarks about he wanted the Bible in every classroom. The teachers were going to have a Bible in every classroom. And then shortly after, he issued a memo to school districts or to school boards, basically saying that they need to advance a Bible instruction into their classes and use it for, quote, as an instructional support into the curriculum for grades 5 through 12. And then he said in this memo, adherence to this mandate is compulsory. And then he also said further instructions for monitoring and reporting on this implementation for the 2024-2025 school year will be forthcoming. Immediate and strict compliance is expected. So he's really coming out with the full, you know, Christian nationalist, we're going to teach the Bible in public schools. This, you know, struck a lot of people in Oklahoma the wrong way, including a lot of people who actually understand how schools operate in Oklahoma. And one of the problems with this memo that Walters did is under state law, schools have the direct responsibility to come up with curriculum, not the whim of the state superintendent of instruction. So that was the first potential problem with him implementing this, is the question of, can he even do what he's trying to do? He's trying to abuse power and do this really bad thing, but also, can he even order schools to incorporate the Bible into their instruction without much other guidance, which obviously is going to lead to you know, quite biased and unconstitutional instruction if any were to take place. So that was the first thing that Walters did. That was at the very end of June. And, you know, FFRF reacted and immediately made an announcement. We need to think, frankly, we need to see how he thinks he can implement this. So we are awaiting, you know, any guidance or guidelines, anything he's going to issue to know whether we will then be able to take legal action against him or against any of the schools that would implement this type of thing.
And then, of course, this week he announced that he's going to create a social studies standards, and he set up a committee of very concerning Christian nationalists and theocrats to oversee this curriculum change. And they include, you know, the head of the Heritage Foundation and the infamous David Barton, who does all the mangling of quotes. And so, you know, this is another move that he's making. Of course, that's going to take a while to be implemented, won't it?
Yeah. And he, I mean, I think some of the other people, Dennis Prager is one of the other people mm-hmm. on this. So it was kind of a who's who of, I guess, the, you know, very, very conservative thought to redo the entire state's social studies standards is what he seems to be wanting to do. You know, we obviously want to take a look closer at how that is going to take place. You know, we have the ability to, you know, get public records on this. So I'm very curious about, you know, how this all came together and what their ultimate plans are, because, you know, they can certainly try to change the standards, but they can't do that in an unconstitutional way. And obviously that's what seems to be intended here with the makeup of the committee and Walter's, you know, very recent comments. So this is something we're obviously going to have to take a closer look at. And yeah, I think he's, you know, somebody had said once is you don't want to be between Walters and a camera. And I think that's a little bit also what's going on, is he's trying to get attention. You know, he's auditioning for maybe Trump's, if Trump wins the Department of Education.
Except if Trump wins and Project 2025 is implemented, they're going to abolish the Department of Education.
Right. And he may be a very willing person to do that. You know, what's also a little, I don't know that this is even humorous, but apparently Walters, when he was previously a school teacher, when he was a school teacher, he wrote like a very complimentary letter to the social studies about the social studies standards that the state of Oklahoma has. Now, a few years later, it's politically expedient for him to say they need to be, you know, totally revamped and obviously with an intent to add more religiosity and Christianity to those standards is really what he's looking to do. So, you know, he's trying to abuse that power in the state. And I think thankfully so far, the state's attorney general and the state Supreme Court have done a very good job in keeping him in check. You know, FFRF is also, we're helping litigate a case that's still pending right now in Oklahoma court over the Catholic charter school because we had our own case.
And that's still live, right?
Right. And Walters is on the, you know, as head of the Department of Education, he's on the committee that now is charged with managing the charter schools in the state. So, you know, he has his fingerprints, I think, on a lot of injecting religion into the public education in the state.
So, Patrick, if there were a cause for a legal action, would it be in state court?
Yeah, you always have that option. You know, certainly in our in our charter school case, the state Supreme Court and the state constitution were so strong, there was really not a need to bring federal claims. And so we wanted to take that in state court and have the state Supreme Court or the state courts decide it. So here, I think you have the same thing. We have an opinion in hand that's only, you know, that's less than 3 weeks old that reiterates the state church separation in the Oklahoma constitution and not just the establishment clause of the federal constitution. So you could probably go into either court there. And also the Court of Appeals, the Federal Court of Appeals that oversees Oklahoma has also been very favorable on state church separation, has multiple times ruled favorably in cases like Ten Commandments displays on public property. So I think, you know, he's says a lot, and this Walters wants to implement his religiosity, but I don't think that the courts are going to be on board with his plans here.
And I think we should explain to listeners that we were able to go to court right away and sue on its face over the law that was passed in Louisiana because the immediate harm to students coming back to school is so obvious. But this is stuff that Walters is wanting to implement, and it hasn't been implemented yet, so we have to kind of wait and see, correct?
Yeah, I hate to use the analogy, say the devil's in the details. Like we don't know what fully he's planning and how he plans to implement it. So for instance, he's made remarks that he thinks he can take away teachers' licenses if they don't comply with his Bible mandate. We don't know and see how he has the authority to do that. So we need to see what he intends before we're able to make a full judgment on whether to take legal action. Well, I think that's different than Louisiana, where you have a state law that says exactly how these are supposed to be posted and exactly where they will be put up.
Well, thank you so much, Patrick Elliott, for joining us today and without much notice to fill us in on these nationally and internationally significant legal developments on state church. Thank you again.
Thanks.
And this music we're going out with is Woody Guthrie's Tear the Fascists Down. And Woody Guthrie was born in Oklahoma.
And that's our show for today. If you're a member of FFRF, thank you. And if not, please join us at FFRF.org and support our vital state church litigation and become part of the nation's largest association of freethinkers.
Greetings to listeners to WOOM and WZML in Pennsylvania, to WIDE and WMUU here in Madison, Wisconsin, to WADR in Janesville, Wisconsin, KEOS in Bryan, Texas, KZSM in San Marcos, Texas, KOPN in Columbia, Missouri, KEPW in Eugene, Oregon, GMCR in Silver City, New Mexico, WOOL in Vermont and New Hampshire, WRIU in Kingston, Rhode Island, WRFI in Ithaca, New York. And if you're listening to the podcast, give us a thumbs up on your provider. Tell your friends and family to learn more about Freethought Radio at ffrf.org/radio.
And tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Freethought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.